When I think of prayer, I often think of the Perisher strip cartoon, which used to be in the Daily Mirror, because often they touched on prayer. And in one of them, it goes a little bit like this. Maisie and her little brother, Baby Grumplin, are walking into church. Baby Grumplin says, "There's going to be a big push on prayer front this weekend, Maisie." He goes on to say, "I want a new cowboy hat and a revolver and a jumbo painting book," and only to be interrupted by his sister, who says, "I told you before, Baby Grumplin, you mustn't pray for selfish things. You should pray for other people." She then adds the suggestion, "Why don't you pray for poor old Mr. Scroggins up the road?" Baby Grumplin says, "All right then," and then adds, "But he'll have a shock when he receives a cowboy hat and a revolver and a jumbo painting book." Well, prayer is something we learn, and we all learn about prayer as we go on. And that's why we have this series that we're looking at over these Sunday mornings. And in this series, we've seen about people like Hannah and Solomon and Daniel and Jonah, and see how they prayed, and we've learned from their prayers. The thing about these people, Solomon and Daniel and Hannah, was that they were ordinary people. They were flawed people. They were fallible people. And when they prayed, they were not experts on prayer. So it's very good this morning, finally, to learn from an expert. That's not me. Finally, to learn from an expert in prayer as we hear what Jesus has to say about prayer. And in the middle of that reading that John just brought to us, in verse 9, it says this: "This then is how you should pray." And when Jesus says this is how you should pray, we need to sit up and we need to take notice. And I hope we'll do that for a few moments. Let's hear from the expert on how we should pray. And the first thing Jesus tells us is that prayer is speaking to our Father. Prayer is speaking to our Father. Now, before we get into what we know as the Lord's prayer, we hear Jesus twice say something: "Do not be like." Do not. This is not how you do it, Jesus says. This is how you don't do it. Firstly, he says, don't be like those who make a show of their prayers. He was very much aware of the Pharisees who would parade themselves around, who would stand on street corners and who would pray very clearly, very loudly, so everybody could look and see, oh yeah, they're very good, they're great at prayer. He said, don't be like that. There needs to be an integrity in your praying, an integrity whereby we, as it were, Jesus says it, go into a room on our own, just with God, not to impress anyone, just to talk with our Father in heaven. And then in verse 7 he says, and when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. He's saying, look, prayer is not mechanical. It's not a recitation of certain mantras and certain words. No, prayer is talking to a Father in words which we and he understands. And the difference Jesus is pointing out between the hypocrites and the pagans and the follower of Jesus is in the nature of God, how we view God. And that's what Jesus says very clearly at the beginning of the prayer. This then is how you should pray: our Father in heaven. When we pray, Jesus says, we're coming to speak to a Father. And he tells us three things about the God to whom we come in prayer. The first is that he is personal. He's a Father. I speak to him as a Father, as I would speak to my wife, to my friends, to my brothers. It's personal. I can talk with him. I can chat with him. I can have a relationship with him. And the second thing is, he's loving. Jesus tells us to call God Father. But Father doesn't always have a good connotation. I always, when I think of Father, I go back to Mary Poppins and to the children being brought to the father. And it's a very formal thing. They're going off to bed, they're brought to the father, and he says, go, and there's no relationship there. Jesus is talking about a perfect father, a father who cares for his children, who loves his children, into whose arms you can, as it were, run and be hugged and held. He's loving. He cares for us. And we can come to him with all that's on our heart and our minds. Not only is he personal and loving, he's powerful. Our Father in heaven. That is, he's the one in heaven who has authority and power. We come to a God who, Paul tells us, is able to do far more than we ask or imagine. I think the times I personally feel most a failure is when, as a father, I'm not able to help and sort out the problems my children have. Not so when we come to our Heavenly Father. He's able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. He's not just personal. He's not just loving, he's powerful to act on our behalf. And Jesus says, when we come in prayer, we are coming to our Heavenly Father. And then the actual prayer is in two parts. It's concerned firstly with the glory of God, and then with the needs of us human beings. And what Jesus says encourages his followers to pray for God's glory and reign. You've got the Bible open there, verse 9. This is then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. He encourages us to pray for God's name, his kingdom, and his will. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And that simply means may God be honored, because God is his name. God's name is himself. One of the commandments, the Ten Commandments given to Moses, was that we should not take in vain or misuse God's name. Rather, that God's name should be hallowed. And so often around us, that's not what happens. God's name, the name of Jesus, is used as a swear word. We have that little phrase, expression, oh my God. And people use it in that way because God actually doesn't mean anything to us. His name is not being honoured. Jesus says this is how you should pray. Hallowed be God's name. That is, we take God seriously. And we show that by the way we use his name. Not using it as a swear word. Not using it as an expression of frustration. So let me ask us, friends. Can we be careful how we use the name of God, Father and the Son? May God's name be honoured. And may, secondly, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is where God rules and where God's will is obeyed. See, God made us as humans. He made us to know him as God and Lord over us. He made us have a relationship with him. But the problem for us as humans, and we've expressed it a number of times in the service already, is that actually we reject God's rule. We say, I want to rule my life myself. Gareth just said it. At the middle of sin is that word, I. I want to be king in my own life. And we see the disastrous effects that has. But God didn't give up on us. He hasn't given up on us as his children. He hasn't given up on his world. And so he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into our world. God's Son, who always did God's will. And he sent him to die on a cross, taking the punishment you and I deserve because we have pushed God to one side. We have ignored God's rule and God's will. And Jesus died for us. And the prayer Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, is a prayer that we would recognize God's right to rule in our lives, God's desire for us to be in a relationship with him, and that we would change from being rulers of our own lives to allowing God in Jesus to be our Saviour and our King. Friends, will you pray that the kingdom of God would grow in us and also in our world, and that his will would be done in our lives and those we meet, so that increasingly in our world, God's name would be honoured. Jesus encourages us to pray for God's glory and reign. And then secondly, to pray for our own needs. Reading on in the prayer, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, as we also have forgiven our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus says, pray, give us today our daily bread. So there I was. I was there on the settee watching Hey Dougie. Oh, woof. And sorry, if you've never watched it, you don't know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, there was a shout. It's tea time. And the two little ones who were on the settee with me, helping me understand Hey Dougie, shut off the settee and they ran from the lounge into the kitchen shouting, pizza, 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 pizza. And sure enough, there was tea and it was homemade pizza, which is a great family favourite. And everybody had their pizza. And then suddenly I was, Mum, can I have some more pizza? Mum, can I have some more pizza? Mum, can I have some more pizza? The request, the desire. And in a sense, that's what Jesus is saying here. What children do, and what children are very good at, is asking for what they want. And Jesus here is saying, ask. Ask for what we need. He was encouraging the disciples to be like children. Not just asking for bread or pizza, but for our daily needs. The prayer that Jesus taught us, saying this is how you should pray, encourages us as children to ask our Heavenly Father to give us what we need. Now, in a sense, the children round that table didn't need to ask. Their mum, my daughter, had already knew what they needed. She provided something for them that they loved and enjoyed. And we're reminded here in Jesus' prayer that our Father in heaven knows what we need. But in expressing that asking, they're building relationship. And Jesus tells us to ask, because through our asking of God, we're expressing our relationship, we're building our relationship, we're also recognizing our dependence upon our Heavenly Father. That we depend upon him for all we need. And as we come to him, he delights to hear our prayers and he delights to answer those prayers and meet those needs. Give us today our daily bread. Ask for what we need. But friends, we're not just physical beings. We're also spiritual beings. And Jesus encourages us to look at how our spiritual life is going and sort that out as well. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. If we're to be God's children, and Kieran's mentioned this, and Gareth's mentioned it already in the service, if we're to be God's children, then we need that sin that is in us, that weight of debt, to be dealt with. And having done that, having sorted that out and sorted with God, come to God and saying, God, I'm sorry. We need to do it daily. Just as we need our daily bread, we need daily to come to God and say, look, God, I'm sorry for the sins of today. And we need to do it in an attitude whereby we're ready to forgive others who do things bad to us, recognizing that the sins that others do to us are so small in comparison to our rebellion against God. Jesus here, in this pattern of prayer, shows us that confessing our sins is essential in building that relationship with God, so that we know our Heavenly Father and we relate to Him through our forgiveness of our sins. Now, when it comes to the final petition in the prayer, I think Jesus has got it wrong. That's dreadful, isn't it? Of course he hasn't got it wrong. But very often, when we think of prayer, and we use a way of reminding ourselves what we could pray about, we use a teaspoon, TSP. We say thank you, we say sorry, and we say please. Now here already in the prayer, we've had the thank you. We've had the please, asking for bread. We've had the sorry, but we don't get the thank you. Instead, Jesus says, pray. Say, please give me my bread. Sorry for the things I've done wrong. And pray that you will live a godly life. Gareth was saying when we're looking at the baptism of Dan and Theo, that actually this is just a step, a first step on a path, a lifelong journey. And Jesus is saying here, just pray that on that journey, you'll be walking with Jesus. I was watching Midsummer Murders the other day. Since I've retired, all I do is watch television, sorry. Inspector Barnaby and his wife were going for a walk. And she was a little bit dejected because he said, I'll take the map and I'll lead us. And of course they got lost. My wife Ruth and I, we enjoy walking, but we do prefer to go where we've already been or where we have a very, very clear map so I can't get us lost. Now, in the last part of the prayer, in a sense, Jesus says, look, just pray that on the journey, you don't go offline, you don't get lost. And he would say, pray that you would live godly lives, walking on the right path. What does it say there? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, God doesn't lead us into temptation. So really what this part of the prayer is saying is this. Do not allow us so to be led in temptation that it overwhelms us, but rescue us from the evil one. The prayer is, God, help us. We're on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to continue on that journey. But the temptations to go astray are so many and so strong. One hymn puts it like this. Oh, let me see thy footmarks, and in them plant mine own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength. I can't do it on my own. Pray that I wouldn't be led into temptation. Pray that you won't be led into temptation. Pray that instead you'll be able to walk firmly on the path of Christ. It's not easy walking the way of Jesus. The devil will draw us away, lead us on wrong paths. We need that help and strength from God. Pray that God would keep you walking on the way of Jesus. So here is Jesus' prayer. He teaches us that in prayer we're coming to a loving and a powerful Heavenly Father. And that as we do so, our prayer should be that God would be honoured in our lives and in our world, and that we would live godly lives in dependence upon Him. Let me pray for us. Father, we do just echo those words. Let me see the footmarks of Jesus, that I may walk His way, honouring You in my life, glorifying You in the way that I live, but also using Your love to reach out to others for His name's sake. Amen.